It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This morning we'll visit Black Dog Hollow in Pennsylvania, where a small mountain of abandoned coal mining waste has sat for a generation.
We have ATVs riding there, a lot of trespassing. Of course, it's unsecured. Many entrances and exits to the dump. So we've had a lot of complaints about that, and we have had people get hurt there.
But that site may soon be cleaned up. The story is just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The West Virginia teacher strike will enter into its ninth day today. House Bill 4145, which would provide salary increases for teachers and school employees, has become the focus of lawmakers and protesters at the Capitol in recent days. Dave Mistich reports.
Representatives from each chamber of the legislature met Monday in an attempt to find a compromise. However, members of the conference committee have yet to come to terms. In an evening meeting, Democrat Delegate Brent Boggs acknowledged the pressing nature of House Bill 4145.
Yeah, I think we really need to act in the morning. I think we are just literally out of time.
Boggs, other House conferees, and Senate Democrat Bob Plymel have stood firmly on a position calling for a 5% raise this year that would honor a deal between union leaders and Governor Jim Justice. Republican Senators Blair and Ferns have remained skeptical of $58 million in adjusted revenue estimates made by the governor and have called for a 4% raise instead of 5%. The conference committee is scheduled to meet again this morning. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Today is the ninth day of the teacher and school service personnel work stoppage over pay and benefits. A bill that would address these issues is in the conference committee and will be considered a third time in a meeting later this morning. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, host Andrea Lanham spoke with Bob Brown of the American Federation of Teachers West Virginia chapter. The West Virginia Education Association, AFT, and the West Virginia School Service Personnel Association said in a joint statement this weekend that they were, quote, angry and disappointed, unquote, with the Senate's actions.
So just tell us, what's the latest so far?
Well, as we speak, frankly, directly above us in this building, the conference committee from both made up of three members of the House and three members of the Senate are meeting to try to work out the differences between the House version of the pay bill, which was 5%, and the Senate version of the pay bill, which is 4%.
Now, Saturday was kind of a chaotic day. What was your reaction to some of the developments with the Senate approving a reduction of 4% compared to 5%?
Well, I've been here a long time. This is probably my 37th or 38th year. I've never seen anything that happened like happened on the Senate floor late Saturday night. But putting that aside, essentially what the Senate did was take the deal that the governor had negotiated with us and then had passed the House 98-1 and reduced that by 1% from 5% down to 4%.
When I talked to the West Virginia Education Association president, he had said previously, why not raise everyone, including state employees, up to 5% instead of lowering teachers, school personnel, and state police to 4%? Did you have that same thought as well?
That's the reasonable thing to do. I mean, why not do that? Why would you want to drag someone down and reduce someone's raise or salary that's already been approved overwhelmingly by the House? Why not bring state employees up? It costs $12.5 million more added into the budget to raise state employees up to 5% as well. Why can't we do that? We have a $4.3 billion budget. Surely we can find $12 million to equalize everyone at 5% rather than down to 4%.
I know in talking to some of the Senate majority, they said earlier that they didn't believe there's enough revenue to raise everybody to 5%.
Well, I was here last year when the governor, at the very last minute, raised revenue estimates by $133 million, and now they don't want to accept a raise of $58 million? Come on, they're playing games right now. We literally have two people right above us who are stopping our children from going back to school tomorrow. And if we get it out of the committee at 5%, we probably have 18 or 19 people on the floor who are holding 250,000 students out of school tomorrow. We can fix this. If there's a will to do it, there's a way to do it.
Do you think the AFT or any of the other associations would accept anything other than 5% if the committee came back with like 4.5%?
No, we in good faith put together a deal with the governor. It had four prongs. The other three are put away. We're down to salary. Once again, the governor is standing by the 5%. The House is standing by the 5%. It's time for the Senate to step up.
There's also been some comments from the Senate president, too, that he believes that these revised revenue estimates should be dedicated to PEIA instead of this pay raise bill. Do you think the money should be dedicated to PEIA instead? Or
why would we throw $58 million into a system that everyone recognizes is broken? It's been frozen or a moratorium placed on that for the next 16 months. Why would we park $58 million in a trust fund for 16 months while we're trying to figure out what to do with PEI when we could put it in people's pockets? We think it's better spent putting it in people's pockets. So we would be opposed to putting that $58 million in the PEIA trust.
Now, schools are already closing throughout the state. I'm not sure what the current count is, but I know there's quite a few already. The West Virginia Education Association president previously said that until the legislature passes this 5% pay raise bill, that the walkout continues.
Well, the members have made it clear they're not going back until the Senate honors the deal that the governor's already honored and the House has honored. The real tragedy here is this conference committee could have been meeting yesterday. That's the real tragedy. I was here all day yesterday looking for them to meet. They chose not to meet. They could have met the this morning. This could have been resolved in time to get schools open tomorrow. But as you point out, superintendents can't wait until 10 o'clock tonight when this may work its way through the floor to have schools open. So it's just a real tragedy that the folks in the Senate didn't want to come to the table yesterday and fix this.
Do you foresee a resolution happening soon?
I hope so. I'm the eternal optimist. I think at the end of the day, we're going to end up with 5%. But there's no use to keep delaying. Let's get it on, come up with the $12.5 million, raise the state employees up to 5%, and let's close this deal and go home.
That was Bob Brown of the American Federation of Teachers West Virginia chapter speaking with the Legislature Today host Andrea Lanham. Visit our website, wvpublic.org, to learn more about our legislative coverage. Voters in November will decide on a resolution that would effectively strip the constitutional right to have an abortion in West Virginia. Corey Nolinger reports.
Adopted Monday by the House of Delegates 73-25, with two lawmakers not voting, the change would authorize the legislature to control taxpayer funding of abortions through Medicaid, according to State Senate Judiciary Chairman Charles Trump. Delegate John Schott, a Republican from Mercer County, emphasizes that the resolution does not ban the procedure in West Virginia. The resolution would add a single but powerful line to state law. Quote, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to an abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Close quote. Opponents argued the bill is unconstitutional. The West Virginia Supreme Court struck down a similar law in 1993, saying it discriminated against low-income women. A Democratic-sponsored amendment Saturday that would have allowed for a special election on this issue in July was rejected along party lines. Delegate Barbara Fleshauer, a Democrat from Monongalia County, says the resolution is designed to bring out single-issue voters with an ultimate aim to maintain Republican majorities in the House and Senate. Between July 1, 2016 and June 30, 2017, 1,560 Medicaid-funded abortions took place, costing about $330,000, according to state data. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in West Liberty.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. It's 7:52. We're expecting cloudy skies today with a good chance of rain across southern and western parts of the state. A mix of rain, freezing rain, and wet snow possible in the north and the higher elevations to the east. Highs in the 40s to the mid-50s. Tonight, a chance of freezing rain or wet snow, up to an inch of snow accumulation, is possible in the higher elevations tonight. Lows tonight will be in the 30s. Tomorrow, breezy, with a good chance of rain, sleet, or wet snow. Highs in the 40s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the law firm of K. Casto & Cheney, with offices in Charleston, Fayetteville, Morgantown, and Martinsburg. Robert R. Rodecker, responsible attorney. President Trump's Interior Secretary was in Pennsylvania recently to talk about dealing with old coal mines. Ryan Zinke oversees the federal agency in charge of cleaning up thousands of abandoned mines. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports Pennsylvania's problem is the biggest in the country.
Black Dog Hollow is a 100-foot-tall pile of coal and rock, an ugly hill created by the unwanted cuttings from a mine that closed 30 years ago. Nothing grows on it. It's eroding into nearby streams, and acid runoff pours off of it every time it rains. At a crowded fire hall just down a hill from the pile, Marianne Kabaki said it's generally a nuisance.
We have ATVs riding there, a lot of trespassing. Of course, it's unsecured, many entrances and exits to the dump. So we've had a lot of complaints about that, and we have had people get hurt there.
Kabaki is the secretary of East Bethlehem Township in Washington County. She was awaiting the arrival of Ryan Zinke, Secretary of the Interior. Zinke had chosen her town as the place to announce this year's abandoned mine funding because East Bethlehem is a poster child for why the program exists. Created in 1977, the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund helps states deal with the legacy of historic coal mining. With funding from the program, Black Dog Hollow is slated to get cleaned up in the next few years, which will come as a relief to Kabaki and the rest of the community.
We have, of course, the eroding channels, the water that fills our storm drains eventually ends up in our river. We have people that live in close proximity to the dump. One house, I believe, is within 100 feet, the closest one. People have had to suffer with this for many years, so we're glad to see something happening with it.
After arriving at the fire hall, Zinke came to the microphone. A tall Montanan and former Navy SEAL, Zinke said Pennsylvania was still ripe for coal mining.
And here, there's economic opportunity, and we can do it right. But we also have to learn from the past.
That was a past before modern regulations prevented companies from leaving scars on the land like Black Dog Hollow. With federal abandoned mine funding, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection will grade the site and treat the acidic topsoil so that plants will grow on it.
I think in probably between 12 months and 18 months, we're going to see grass in the hill. And in 5 years, we'll see trees. And compared to what it is today, to what it will be, that's in a positive direction.
Zinke revealed the amount for this year's cleanup program, $300 million, and he even signed one of those symbolic oversized checks.
It's only as good as the government.
Of that $300 million, Pennsylvania's share will be $55 million, second only to Wyoming. It's an increase over what the state has gotten over the past few years, thanks to a change in funding set out by Congress in 2006, when it reauthorized the program. The state's share is so big because it has so many old mine sites, 800, the most in the country. John Stefanko of the Pennsylvania DEP said that all told, the state's abandoned mines would cost $15 billion to clean up. At current funding levels, that work will go on for decades.
It's really hard to how to predict, but it definitely will not be in my lifetime and probably not your lifetime either.
The DEP has yet to determine when it will begin construction on Black Dog Hollow. Reed Frazier, State Impact Pennsylvania.
Several West Virginia health organizations, including West Virginia Prevention First and the state's Department of Health and Human Resources, have joined together to launch the Health and Hope WV initiative. Prevention First is a conglomeration of organizations that collect and disseminate information and facilitate communication, according to a press release. Organizers like Elizabeth Shahan say they hope the new site and media content will both serve as a comprehensive resource and help combat some of the stigma addiction still faces.
One of the things we know in our state is that access to behavioral health care carries a very large stigma with it. And when it carries that, it prevents people from accessing the help that they desperately need.
Shahan is one of the representatives from six regions of the Prevention First Network. At a media event yesterday in Charleston, she and other representatives shared thoughts about their work and hope for the project. A Charleston-based law firm has filed a class action suit against 21 medical companies, including the opioid manufacturer Purdue Pharma, to sue for damages incurred by prenatal exposure to opioids, Carol Lofton reports.
The suit was filed this week by the firm Thompson & Barney. Kevin Thompson says the intent is to create a fund for babies born with neonatal abstinence syndrome, meaning infants born dependent to opioids.
In this case, the equitable relief would be a medical monitoring fund.
He says a medical monitoring fund would allow for children to be tested for possible neurological, developmental, and behavioral disorders, and would fund treatment should it be needed, rather than placing the burden on families and insurance companies. He says manufacturers and distributors need to foot the bill.
From a nationwide basis, you know, they have some statutory duties to watch the market and see when there's unusual activity going on. The millions and millions and millions of pills that went into, you know, tiny Kermit and Williamson, distributors should have stopped it. They should have investigated it. They shouldn't have just, you know, smiled and sent more pills and made money.
The suit would also create a damages fund that would be released to the children when they turn 18. That money could be used for education, transportation, or further medical care as needed. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, WVPublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting, telling West Virginia's story. WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBY.